Excuse me, can you move your car? You're blocking the entire bar's parking lot.
Yeah, as soon as I finish my beer.
Jesus, where do I work? What can I get you? Drunk? Welcome to episode 47 of Behind Bars, Cocktails, and Wasted Nights. I'm your host, Greg. I've been working as a bartender for over 20 years, and over those years, I've seen a lot. My goal here is to share some of those high and low lights with you. Quick warning, this podcast contains sex, drugs, and some language that isn't suitable for anyone under 21 years of age, so you gotta have some ID. First off, a little housekeeping. I apologize for not putting an episode out, but July was a bonkers month. Sal, the owner of Dimples, sadly passed, and I flew out to LA to attend his memorial service, and then the guitarist from our old band Gypsy Groove decided he, his friend, and his nephew would drive out to Colorado to visit me and catch the Poison, Def Leppard, and Motley Crue show, and yes, that'll be a future episode. Okay, that said, after a few years of coaxing, inviting, bothering, annoying, and generally begging, Lydia finally decided to be a guest, and oh boy, it's a humdinger. But before we get started, you'll need a drink. For this one, Lydia wants us to do a michelada. So, first, rim a pint glass with tajin.
Rim.
Fill with ice. Add 2 ounces of Clamato, not Bloody Mix. 4 dashes of Worcestershire.
Tappity tap 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 a tapatio.
Tapatio.
A squeeze of lime, and then fill the glass with a good Mexican lager. Lids recommends Modelo Especial, and when you're pouring that, by the way, make sure you tilt the glass and do not, I repeat, do not make contact with the tajin, because otherwise, science will happen, and you'll have a foam volcano on your hands. And if you didn't hear me and fucking do this anyway, keep the lime on hand to fight the foam uprising until you win. And as always, if you don't have any of that shit lying around, line up a healthy line of Blizz, smell it hard for quality, and do what Lydia would do. Shoot a healthy pour of Fernet. And if you don't have Fernet, stick with the tequila. Okay, without further ado, here's Lydia. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 47 of Behind Bars, Cocktails, and Wasted Nights. I'm psyched tonight because I have in studio a guest I've been waiting for forever. Lydia, a.k.a. Lydyars. Lydyars, what's happening?
Oh, you know, the huge.
The huge? What's the huge?
Well, it's actually not the huge.
Are we going to give the pregame away? Is that what we're doing?
Nope.
So Lydia and I worked together forever. So like one of my first good friends in Denver. We're of a certain age where we like would rock out at the end of the night listening to hair rock and stuff like that. Singing
this is
songs.
True.
Yeah. The kids don't know what Van Halen or Poison or Prince is.
They don't. No. And that's okay.
Yeah. And you'll, like, Liz is the kind of person that'll call me at, like, 2 in the morning on her way home to, like, let me hear in the background that I Remember You by Skid Row is playing.
Or November Rain.
November Rain is another big one. Yeah.
I've done this, like, 1,800 times.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't answer the phone. I just wake up to it. I'm like, yeah, there it is. November Rain. Start my day off. And she doesn't even talk to me. She just plays the music. It's hilarious. So let's start off as we always start off. Liz, how did you get into the business? You're from Connecticut. You're from New Jersey. You're a New Yorker, basically, right?
I mean, I was born in Connecticut, but here goes my accent that I only affect when I'm talking about this stuff. I was born in Connecticut. My father was born and raised in New Jersey. I am Italian by birth. My father did not want to raise us in New Jersey, where he grew up, so he moved us to Connecticut. So I have a nice Connecticut upbringing, but I am absolutely 100% New Jersey Italian at heart.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And we have like a similar background educationally, but you're more performy than me. But you went to like arts, right? Like you sing, you got, by the way, Liz has moves. This girl can dance. Like I've seen her dance and it's insane.
I can dance if I want to.
Everybody lose control if you don't dance.
You leave your plants behind.
Yeah. You can dance. Because if you don't, can dance, don't everybody dance. Take off your pants.
If you can't dance and you don't dance, then you're no friend of mine.
And I don't dance, but we're still friends.
It's true.
I just can't dance. So, yeah, where'd you go to school?
Where are we starting?
I mean, let's go. Performance arts. Like, performing arts. Performance arts.
It's Skidmore College. Skidmore College. Some people called it Smokemore because we smoked so much weed there. Other people called it Skidmark, Skid Row.
That's not very creative.
Isn't it?
No.
It was not. We were the creative ones.
Yeah. And I would say, like, didn't you have a famous roommate or a classmate? Or?
Oh, man. Yep. Well, a lot of my former classmates have gone on to do great things, but the most notable, I would say, is one John Bernthal that I think a lot of people are familiar with.
Yeah, like The Punisher. He was in
Walking Dead.
Yep.
So many movies at this point. I'm proud to say that I know him and that we were roommates in the summer of, I think, like 1998 or 99 when we were all struggling actors.
Didn't you show me a video of him going, I'm going to be famous,
yes,
trust me.
I sure did.
Yeah.
I sure did.
Wow.
And, you know, here I am in the restaurant industry.
Samesies.
And he's making millions of dollars making movies, so I don't know where I went wrong.
Well, starting in the restaurant industry, what happens? You get easy money, you have a lot of fun.
And as a female, I think, you know, there's the casting couch, and I got a little salty, I think, on that aspect of the industry.
Oh, you got a casting couch?
Yeah.
Oh, do tell.
Every woman always does.
I didn't know this. Come on.
Yes.
Well, and dimples, like what you had to do if you were like a hot female, you had to go in the back and take off your shirt and put on the dimples tank top in front of the boss. That's casting couchy, I guess. What was your experience? Do you want to share it or no?
It doesn't matter. I mean,
okay, never mind. We're not talking about it.
No, it's fine. There are any number. It was like every experience.
Oh, no.
It was like, oh, you're cute. So you want to go out for dinner? Let's talk about your career.
Oh, gross.
And then it was very clear that they didn't give a shit.
Oh, we can swear on this podcast.
Oh, I can swear in here? Can I swear in here, Greg?
Stop swearing,
Greg.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, jeez. I've been living this PG life for so long.
Okay, noted. Point made. So.
No, but it was annoying. No, and, I'm not going to fuck you to get a role.
Right.
You know, so.
But you got in there, you cut your teeth, you proved your mettle, you're a kick-ass bartender. You were, like, super fast. You know what I loved about you? Like, working with you behind the bar before you went to the management side. Yes, we'll get to that later. She would put people in their place in a very, like, assertive way. Not to the point where, like, you're going to yelp her, but you're like, oh, shit, yeah, I was misbehaving. Oh, my God, I am completely out of line.
I give, like, the mom look of, like, come on, did you really just say that?
Yeah.
Come on, think about what you just said.
And you started off in a bar in New York that was, we won't name the name, but it was because of Omerta. But
definitely not HIPAA because it didn't exist then.
Yeah, HIPAA. This was a mob kind of place, would you say?
Some might have had an affiliation here.
Yeah, we won't name the family, but okay, so you worked. Okay, how was that? What was that like?
Let's see. I was 23. I had just moved to New York City. I thought I was king shit until I moved to New York City and got put in my place very quickly. And I had a boss that let me know that if anybody ever fucked with me, he was going to let them...
Right.
Dot, dot, dot. Anyway, so he kind of gave me the freedom to assert myself and to speak to people that way in the middle of Lower Manhattan at the very young age of 23 or 24. So...
Oh, my God. So, yeah, you got the power. You got, yeah. So now you have the money, the fun, and you have the power.
And then you get the women.
Scarface. I'm the one with the scar on my face, but she's really Pacino.
And I wasn't even looking for women, so that's irrelevant. But, yeah, so it kind of gave me my balls, I think.
You got some balls.
When I worked there. And then I moved to Denver, and my first job was on East Colfax,
also
which
a neighborhood.
An eye-opener, we shall say. I thought I had seen it all in New York at the ripe old age of 26.
Denver's got some shit. People would be surprised. I was surprised.
My very first Sunday day working at this particular bar, I was cutting fruit, minding my own business, and I noticed a gentleman, quote-unquote, across the street. With a backpack, and I was like, huh, where is he hiking to? There's no hiking trails around here. We're in the middle of a city. Dirt, dirt, dirt. And then he like ducked into an alley and he started smoking what I assumed was weed because I was again still a little green.
Oh no. Did it smell like melted straws?
And I saw the lighter go like several times. I was like, oh shit, he's not smoking weed. He's definitely smoking crack. And it was like 10:30 in the morning. So he abruptly like walked across the street and walked right into my bar. And I was like, So I don't know really what to do here. I'm new. So I asked one of the guys in the kitchen what to do. And he goes, well, he's probably thirsty. Give him a goddamn beer. And it was like dollar PBR day at the time. So I gave him a dollar PBR and he's sitting there and he's drinking it. And he was fine. Then he had a second. And he was still fine. By beer number three, the dude was like on the floor. And I was like, okay, we got to pick this guy up and like get him out of here.
You're like, what? I went to college. What am I doing? So
they get him out of the bar. He goes outside. He like yells at a transformer on the sidewalk, kicks it. Goes across the street, smokes more crack, goes into the adult video store next door, comes out with a bicycle and pedals away. And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
How do you get a bicycle in the porn shop?
This is what I'm saying. These are my questions.
Maybe he went to the porn shop to get a bicycle because he was bike curious.
Good one, Sorry. To this day, I'm like, so what is the arrangement that you have with like the porn shop? You're like, hey, can I leave my bike while I go smoke crack, have a couple of dollar beers?
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Whoa, you I run that. That's amazing. Hey, you did poet. Go to Skidmore.
Poet, didn't know it.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't even a writer then. Still not.
Still not. Yeah, definitely not. We'll go back and edit that. You know, you get to assert yourself. You get to be a badass and tell people, you give them a what for. Sometimes, I remember a story you told me when you were working at a certain tavern where you couldn't use that. You had to use another method to keep the peace.
Well, you know,
I would say because of the parties involved, it was the best choice you could have made.
You know, Greg, what I've learned in all my years in this industry is that sometimes you have to read the room, you know? And you have to figure out how to best quell the situation. Every situation is different.
It's true.
In this particular instance, I mean, do I start from the beginning of the story?
Or that's just the best place. Unless you want to Quentin Tarantino it for us.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. I don't even know. What does that mean?
Just out of sequence. Zed's dead, baby. Wait, how does this tie in?
So oh, I was like, wow, wow, wow. That's like his like segue.
You know, John
music.
Travolta was on the toilet every single time somebody else got killed. In Pulp Fiction, every time somebody got killed, he was in the bathroom fucking dropping a deuce. Every scene. When somebody died,
that.
He was like, even Uma Thurman, when she overdoses, he's in the can.
Never really thought about
that. Yeah, Jules gets shot at, he's in the can.
Yep, reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
God damn it, that stupid hair. Anyway.
I want to win that contest. Hey. Too. So anyway, you read the room.
Read the room. So, this particular place had a particular crowd that belonged to a particular motorcycle club that will also remain nameless.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Sons of Anarchy, let's say.
Yeah, that's it. So they were not, they didn't take too kindly to people of different anything.
Right.
I'm going to kind of leave that there as well. So on this particular evening, there was a gentleman who was pretty much the antithesis of everything that they stood for. He was a big black man, and he was gay, and he was flamboyant, and he was mouthy and all the things. And he decided to poke the bear and mess with this particular group of guys.
He couldn't read the room.
He did not read the room.
No.
He read maybe his like ID that day, but I don't think so.
And he was using Braille to read the room. He was laying hands.
So anyway, got to the point where it was going to come to some blows, and that could have gotten very volatile. And so the only thing that I knew how to do at that point was to step in the middle and flash my tits.
Super unorthodox.
Yeah, but I mean, who doesn't like fucking titties?
Lids has some big captivating tits, by the way. So
I mean,
it would
they
stop
were,
you in your tracks.
This was also like 15 years ago. They were so much better back then.
That's terrifying.
Anyway, so It stopped the music literally and was like, next thing you know, everybody is high-fiving, hugging, like buying each other drinks.
Those
they're
guys
like,
are going fishing tomorrow.
We saw titties, exactly. Yeah, like going to each other's like fucking weddings and shit. They didn't, but yeah, what could have become a really bad situation turned into like just hugs and love.
This is amazing. This is why I want to open my therapy practice. Where instead of like dredging up things that depress you, we just talk about Disney tits and blow. And you're going to leave there so happy. It's going to make everybody happy. Like, oh, don't worry about your issues.
I mean, like walks of life that would never have like come together.
And I'll take came all together. Insurance. You can pay out of pocket. It doesn't matter. Because yeah, you united titties. The walks of life. That was like the karaoke bar. I had like a forensic accountant who made like almost millions. And I had a guy who couldn't read who washed windows all day and had a gun belt that had little pencils in the bullet holes and squeegees in the gun holsters. And they were best buds. It's like a bar can bring people together. It's really weird.
Oh, man.
Unification through alcohol.
And then they added a kitchen and they all went to hell. But anyway.
That usually happens. Just focus on the booze, people. It's a lot different than where we used to work when you have to break stuff up.
Mm.
You ever have any stuff there?
My most recent?
Yeah.
Oh, lots of things. Let's see. Where do I even start there? Let's see.
Oh, you know what? While you're buffering and searching, we're both like super big Van Halen fans. And we both know that Dave is kind of like really, like David Lee Roth's kind of eccentric.
Dave.
Yeah.
It's just a first name.
Yeah, Dave. Humala baby la zebala bubala humala baby la zebala bop. You had a run-in with Dave.
I did. Back to the New York City days in my, you know, formative years. Was sitting at a bar.
How old were you?
I was 24, four or five.
Okay.
At the time. And I'm sitting at a bar and I was just trying to go have a drink by myself, which I did often back then and sometimes still do. Anyway.
Known to have a little talk.
So, but also I was really feeling my like independence at that time and like, I am a young lady and I live in New York City and like, yeah, I'm going to go have a drink by myself. Anyway, so I go to this like dark bar, I was feeling kind of hip that night. And I look down the bar and there's this guy that looks a little like down and out. He's kind of shaggy looking. He's got like an EMT jacket on. And I was like, oh man. I was like, that guy probably had like a really long night. He's like an EMT, you know, in New York City, and that's got to be rough. And I'm asking the bartender about it, and he's like, yeah, that guy's definitely an EMT. And I look at him a little bit more closely, and I was like, is that David Lee Roth? And the bartender's like, yeah. He's an EMT right now in New York City, and that's him. And I was like, I was like, I'm so torn between, like, yeah, I'm just gonna not say anything at all.
You know, it sounds like something he would do. He's a maniac. You know, his dad was like a surgeon. I could see him like doing that. He got the same genes. He just used his powers for the forces
jeans.
Of debauchery.
Were they Levi's?
Yeah. Oh.
Or Ding Dong.
They were spandex at that point.
Wranglers.
He's got a great podcast, by the way. I highly recommend it. You hear all like the, it's like he just opens up his head and just lets it all out.
Well, and then
like,
I saw him in concert like in 2007. Like many years later, and he was awesome. And I was like, thank God he's not on that truck anymore. Fucking saving lives. He just saved my life tonight.
Can you imagine being resuscitated and you look up and you're like, David Lee Roth?
You're like, am I dead?
Yeah. He's like, Panama, no, baby, let's go.
He's like, oh.
Yeah. Looking for a loopy. Dave, what was the lyric? I have no idea. I was like, on so much cocaine. I have
like,
no idea what
I'm
I said.
I'm your ice cream man. I'm like, I'll take some ice cream.
Stop
right now.
Passing by. Oh, my. I love it.
I'll just have a push pop.
My favorite, okay, yeah, that's where we're going to have different lyrics. So my favorite story working with you was when you were, imagine you came back to help us out and like the beer taps upstairs, of course, were malfunctioning and it was all foam and you've been bartending and you're a master bartender and you were pouring foam because the taps were fucked up and that guy was like, oh, look at her, she can't even bartend.
She doesn't even know how to pour a beer.
Oh, my God. And I looked at those guys. I turned around immediately, and I was like, have a good night, fellas. You guys are out of here. And then they're like, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, just go. You're leaving tonight.
Before you incur the wrath.
Yeah. And then I wave security over. I'm like, I go, look behind you. Your ride's here.
That's right. You said your ride's here.
Yeah. I definitely saved them from you. That's as mean as I get. Your ride's here. And yeah, so you sing, you dance. What's your favorite?
Like, I'm the triple threat.
You're the triple threat.
But I make up my own moves.
You do have some crazy moves. Have you been in anything like plays and stuff like that? Like
as of late, or just in general?
Just in general, yeah. Give me the resume.
Okay. Well. Favorite thing I ever did in high school, I was Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, nice.
And I also was the princess in Once Upon a Mattress.
Ooh.
Which...
that require a nude scene?
Carol Burnett played originally, like, on Broadway, so it was kind of fun to take on, like, a comedic Carol Burnett-esque role. But then when I got to college and we started doing things that were more sort of serious, quote-unquote, which they were... I did a lot of Brecht, like Bertolt Brecht, and like,
ooh,
I know,
above my pay grade,
and studied a lot of like Russian theater, and
you know, if they would leave earlier, they wouldn't be Russian.
It's true. Why the hurry?
They'd be Finnish. They left on time.
We are so stupid.
Yeah, stupid. We pre-gamed. You know what I mean? The audience expects this.
I had a burger.
Yeah, we had a burger, etc. The audience expects this. Nobody wants, like, sober interview.
But yeah, there was one time that we were on in a production off Broadway, but the address of the theater was Broadway. It was just like way downtown.
So you were
like,
so off. You were back on. We were literally, it's five,
like,
rights.
Exactly. It was like in Chinatown. Like, nobody was going to see our shit, but like, we did it. Like, we were in the city and we were a theater group and we were like in our early 20s and we had to like eat a bagel a day to like survive for a few weeks. But we did our production and it sucked because we didn't know what we were doing.
You know, it was beautiful and everybody loved each other and slept with each other.
We were humble and we like went back to our like little upstate New York town. And we're like, okay, we have a lot to learn still.
Oh God, I can't do theater.
I had like family come to it too, and they were like, so we didn't quite get it.
So about business school.
Sounds like your waitressing career is going well. That's nice.
How long have you been at it in this biz?
Oh my God. My whole life. My whole like professional.
Like since you were old working enough to drink?
Like, long before that. My parents owned a restaurant when I was a kid.
So destiny, really.
So, yes, but when I got my first waitressing gig when I was 19, I called my dad and I was like, hey Dad, I'm a waitress. And he was like, oh my God, Lydia. Do you know how fucking hard I've worked for you to not do this goddamn shit? I'm like putting you in school. And God. He's like, well, whatever.
Did you have to put in your 2-week notice
blood
with your dad?
It's like, it's in the blood.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Hey, Dad, I got to give you my 2-week notice. I got another waitressing job. So. Remember that when it was waitressing and not serving? I'm more comfortable with waitress or waiter, like instead of server. It's too close to servant.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, oh, a server is more... I'm like, no, it isn't. Waiter.
Waiter sounds like I'm cute.
Yeah,
like,
and waiter, you know, sounds like I'm
flitting
wait
around. I'm like, hee, I'm
yeah, and I'm
going
to wait a little while
and also,
before
you're
I get to
you. Wait,
you.
Motherfucker.
100%. Yeah, let's do that. Let's go with that. Let's go back to it. I also want stewardess. I don't want flight attendant. What does that mean?
Stewardess.
My name's Stu Artis. Nice to meet you. All right, so getting back into it. Oh, bless you. Oh, my God, what happened? Is your nose irritated for some reason? What is that? Some sniz, some blizz. What's going on?
Oh, an idiot.
Achoo, do you need a tissue?
No.
Let me reach into the back of my grandmother's Buick, and I'll get you a Kleenex.
Okay, all right, or my car.
It's next to the velaments. You do have tissues in the back. It's hilarious.
I do.
Also smart. So back into the service industry, you left bartending. Well, I was mad when you defected to the other side because I loved like being in the trench with you.
Take me to the other side.
And you went into management.
Yep.
What'd you think of that?
Well, you know.
Versus bartending, like, honestly.
Oof, that's a loaded question.
Well, that's what we do here on Behind Bars, Cocktails and Wasted Nights.
Okay, well, what I liked about it and my reasoning for was because I wanted to buy a house, so I wanted more consistent income.
Right.
Right? And I felt at the time that our place of business needed a little more leadership than it had, and I was willing to do that. Because I felt like I had the support of my whole team behind me.
Absolutely. We were on your side. Like, a bunch of people could be like, do this, do this. Lydia said, do this. Okay, we'll do it. Lydia said.
Which is just like, nobody ever in my whole life ever did that, which is kind of wild.
You definitely have like a mother goose, kind of mama bear kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I think that's where I found it.
Yeah, no, you have it. It's like I pay attention. Even me, you know me. That's our Greggy.
That's him.
I don't know why you say that all the time, by the way.
That's our Homer.
Yeah, you're like, that's our Greggy. What does that mean? We've just been, he's Greg being Greg.
We've just been saying that for 7 years. I don't remember why.
I think it's because I don't toe the line. Like, Greg, you're supposed to do this.
Oh, you're being so silly, Greg. That's our Greggy.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Kind of like Homer. I'm like, oh, you know.
Yeah, that's our Homer.
You know, he's going to eat a burger. He's going to have a beer. Say something silly, but you know, that's our Homer.
Yeah. So you were in management and you wanted to buy a house. You had more consistent income. People were listening to you. We needed leadership, which you brought to the table. And so those were the pros. Were there more pros? Are we?
Pros being, you know, it was like the biggest challenge in my life at that point professionally. And I just wanted to see if I could do it.
Did you know office stuff? Like, I don't know how to do office stuff. So you had to learn all that.
Yeah, and I still don't know some of it.
But you did the schedule and all that stuff. Like, you give me an Excel sheet. I'm like, I don't even know.
Exactly. I mean, Excel, give me a break.
Yeah, I don't excel at Excel.
Nor do I. I even took a class on it once, and I was like, nah, you lost me.
Yeah, 5 minutes in, you're like checking your phone.
When I was in college, we didn't like have computers.
Yeah, no, I was the last.
Barely. We like just had email.
My school.
Back then, and the World Wide Web was new.
Yeah, you got mail.
Yeah.
AOL Messenger.
Totally AOL.
Yeah.
I had like a gateway computer. I was like, it looks like a cow.
What was your screen name?
Sparkly Lid.
Oh, I'd give out mine, but it's my password to everything now, so I can't.
No. Sparkly Lid. Sparkly Lid, because I was like on a lot of ecstasy and seeing a lot of fish shows back then.
Oh,
I wore a lot of glitter.
That's right. You're a fish head.
Mm-hmm.
And you say back then. So it's like, now it's just no glitter. No,
exactly. I've just taken the glitter back.
When's the last time you saw fish? Yeah, you're always going to Mexico to see fish.
Hey, I go to Mexico for various reasons. The last time I was there was to see fish. You are Pretty correct. Tip. That was last February. Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
You ran into our friend Richie in Mexico once.
That was a few years ago. I sure did.
Yeah.
Oh man, he needed a friend too.
I'm so glad I saw him.
He really needed it.
Yeah.
I was dressed like a beaver.
And he was tripping face.
I was dressed like a beaver.
Oh my God. In Mexico, that must have been so hot.
Yeah, it was hot on many levels.
A beaver, the best damn costume you could have thought of. Thank you.
And I hadn't slept for like 2 days.
Oh my God.
So anyway, but then there was Richie. I mean, he who shall not be named.
Richie's fine. He's the mayor of Denver. Everybody knows him.
And he had like...
I mentioned him in a previous episode, the Stormy Daniels episode. He's the one that had to go to court at 8 in the morning, but he saw us making out. He's like, you know what? Let's go to this after party. I'll bring the booze because my friend's having a good time.
Greg and Stormy making out. Let's be clear.
Yeah. He's the best.
But he had too much that day and didn't know what to do with himself, and he had like a tray of like fries and like chicken tenders, and we were in a bowling alley, and I'm dressed like a beaver, and I was like, hi Richie, and he was like, oh, and he like put everything down, he's like, thank God you're here. Like, we had this whole hug, and his friends were like, oh my God, this is like the best he's been all day. Like, he has not been normal all day until he saw you
in a beaver
dressed
costume,
like a beaver
in a bowling alley. This is what the industry brings to the table, folks. This is not going to happen.
This is what we look for on vacation.
Yeah, this is not going to happen at, like, you know, Brooklyn in HR.
Oh, no. Nope.
She's going to go to an all-inclusive and not leave it in Cabo or something like that. You guys are in beaver costumes, tripping face, going to see fish.
It was just a hat. It was just a beaver hat, actually.
Okay.
Now that I think about it. I had been a beaver for Halloween months prior.
So you had it
standby. You're right. The costume was too hot, but the hat itself was fine and seemed appropriate at the time.
So back to being our manager and our leader.
Oh, right. There's that. Right.
Took a little left turn there. I should have taken that left turn at
Albuquerque.
Oh, my God. We're so old.
I get all my best jokes from Bugs Bunny.
You know, Bugs Bunny, I was always like, okay, you can drive the car, you can talk, but yeah, you cannot take the bunny hole and slide it over. That's
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah,
oh, sir.
Yeah.
Sounds lubrication.
I wouldn't light this match and throw it in the oven if my friend Bugsy was in there, would I? No.
No, sir. So what were the cons of management, Lydiars?
Oh, cons. Are there cons? Come on, no, everything's a dream.
I would imagine, so when I saw you in action, the worst thing that would, like, just, I would just lose my mind, and you always kept it cool. You're in the middle of a conversation, and three people come up to you at once and just start talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
With an issue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That's a given.
That's unbelievable. I couldn't do that. Especially in our place. It's so busy.
But I was prepared for that, and I was okay with it, and I always wanted to, like, field people's questions, and I'd worked in enough places where I didn't feel like I was heard as an employee, and I wanted my employees to be heard.
Yeah, you were very open door policy. Like, you would listen, you would implement things, you would respond. I would imagine, though, because we're an industry of, like, kind of, like, on the on the fringes of sanity or behavior, because, you know, we don't really have an HR keeping everybody in line. People are a little weird. Like, what's the weirdest or some of the weirdest things you've had to deal with from the employees?
Oy, from the employees?
Are you able to deal with that? Are you able to answer that or no?
No, I can. I can. Okay. Let's see. I mean, it has run the gamut.
Didn't you have someone not show up because they were in jail?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you're like, oh, that's...
I'm like, at least once.
That's
yeah, they get one phone call, they call me.
At least they're responsible. Is he going to use
thanks.
A lawyer?
I'm like, really? It's like, this is, at least, you know, you're worried about your job, so that's cool. I will make a note of that, but you should probably call somebody else that can actually help you.
Yeah, get you out of jail so you can get your ass to work.
You know, get out of jail. Free card does not exist in the real world. Let's see. Employees. I mean, all manner of things. Can you call my mom? Because I didn't call her. Can you help me with my pet? Can you, you know.
They want you to go babysit the pet?
Just anything. Just anything and everything. It's like, oh my God, you guys, just like.
How are you even alive?
Exactly. Grow up.
Yeah.
Put on your pants. Yeah, like I did today.
Yeah.
I don't want to wear pants. I don't want to wear them.
My favorite was like, because
I'm not even wearing
them
right now. Don't get that twisted. I'm wearing a skirt.
Yeah. Although it is hot in the studio. We'll see what happens. But like all the people that we work with are super young. And it's like, they don't, it's like, oh, I have food poisoning. Oh, I can't come in. It's like, bullshit. We were all drinking together last night. Like, you weren't there, but I
have never once in my life had food poisoning. Not once.
No, you show up, like Boston James says, you show up, you get sent home.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. But at least you show up.
Yeah.
Exactly. I did that on my 21st birthday. I showed up fucking hungover as shit.
You had to work the day after your 21st
yes,
birthday?
Yes, yes.
Oh, let's hear this one.
Oh, I mean, so I was dating the manager. He was 30, and he had actually been telling everybody in the town that I lived in at the time that I was 21 until it became my 21st birthday.
Oh, no.
So that, you know, was a dispelled myth. But anyway, I was drinking Surfers on Acid.
Jaeger, pineapple, and Malibu.
Gross.
Gross.
The worst.
Yeah.
Combination of anything. And Stoli Raspberry and Cranberries.
Oh, yeah. Those were good back then.
Because, you know, I didn't like booze. I didn't like the way it tasted.
No.
So I wanted to drink all the sweet things. And then that same manager, who was my manager, scheduled me the next morning. And I had to open. And I couldn't do it.
Oh, no.
I could not do it. I was the only front of house person. I had to wait tables, bartend, do all the things.
Oh, my God.
And all I could do was vomit. Like, in the bathroom. And the kitchen guy came out and was like, go take a nap in the back. He's like, I got this. So,
nice.
Like, the kitchen guy, Paulie, his name was Paulie, he, like, ran the whole show that day. He was like, just go home.
That's amazing. Cool. Kitchen guys are always like, they're in the back, they're quiet, you don't know anything about it, they're unassuming. But when the shit hits the fan, they will step up.
Oh, yeah. So then I got in trouble. I got in trouble for that, which is obviously understandable. So my punishment was I had to wash dishes.
Your manager boyfriend made you do this?
No, it was the owner at that point. He's like, I see what's going on with you too. I'm like, meow, 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 no more preferential treatment. Like, you want shifts, girl? You're gonna have to wash dishes. So,
oh my God.
So I washed dishes in a Mexican restaurant. In the height of summer, in the heat of summer. Yeah, beans burned into the bottom of pots and pans, like rice, all the things. So I did that for like a few Fridays, and he was like, all right, kid, like, you earned your stripes. You can have like all the like sweet shifts like from here on out. And I was like, thank you.
You're like in a North Korean prison camp, just like, oh, I went out on my 21st birthday. I'll never do it again. Meanwhile, I'm doing it again tomorrow after washing these goddamn dishes.
Meanwhile, now I'm 21. I'm going to go out and do this every night.
Yeah, sorry. I would. I remember like puking in my lap in the back of a cab quietly on my way home from a bar, like my 21st birthday. Beautiful.
Speaking of actual like advantageous moments, though, in the industry, going back to the bar I worked at in New York City, I worked there during the blackout of 2003. So all of Manhattan was blacked out for 48 hours.
So all your credit card shit's down, everything.
I mean, we didn't have like a machine at that point. It was
the slide thing. You know, yeah. Oh, brutal.
Anyway, so nobody showed up for work because, you know, the power was out. But I walked to work. I showed up. My boss flagged down an ice truck. He's like, well, you're the only one here. You're like the new girl, whatever. He's like, get behind the bar. It's just you. And I made like $800 that day.
Oh, my God.
The place was
packed.
Busy as shit. And I then earned a Saturday day shift from then on and made like $300-$400 a shift.
In 2003.
Yeah. For like the entire time I lived there.
That's like Tuesday.
And like the girls that had worked there for like 20, 25 years were pissed.
Oh, I bet. But guess what? I showed up.
I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me to not show up.
It's like, it's a very much a what have you done for me lately business. Just like, wash the dishes.
Just like Janet said. What have you done for me? What have you done for me lately? Do, 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 do. Ooh, ooh, yeah.
Oh, you nasty boy.
Two songs, but it's fine.
Yeah, no, it's fine. My Janet Jackson stuff's not it. So, you're here. You're in Denver. You're in transition right now. What do you think is going to be the next move? Are you going to stay with it? Are you going to go to another industry? What do you think you want to do? I mean, you got a bunch of ideas. Everything's swirling in the head.
You know, I'm a dreamer, but my heart's a gold. I'd a runaway high, so I wouldn't come home low. Just when things went right, doesn't mean they're always wrong. Just take this song, and you'll never be left all alone. Take me to your heart, fill me in your bones. Just one more night, and I'm coming on this long and winding road. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Home, sweet home.
I didn't know you were
going to
go high.
Tonight, I'm on my way. Just set me free. Home, sweet home.
Home. We were good for a little while. I'll edit that out. I guess we'll close with that. I meant a story, but whatever. That's nothing better than that. I mean, let's go. All right, folks.
Womp.
That's Lids. Thanks for being a fantastic episode 47 on Cocktails and Wasted Time. Say goodbye to the people.
Good night, people. Thank you.
We're going to have you back. Let's do this again.
All right. I'll be back.
I'll be front. Well, it's last call, so let me give you a tip. Don't ask me in the middle of a rush to change the channel to some game featuring a college you didn't go to, only so you can look down at your phone the whole time anyway. Dick move. Folks, it's been a blast. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And a call to my fellow booze slingers. Send in your stories to cocktailsandwastednights@gmail.com. You can remain anonymous if you'd like. Thanks for listening, subscribing, downloading, and spreading the word. Don't be afraid to give me a good review. Even if you're lying, it really does help build our community of barbarians. And check out my video. Just closed it on YouTube. You will laugh, damn it. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do that on Patreon. I don't have any extra shit there, but I'll happily accept tips.
It's worth a try. We'll see you next time on Behind Bars, Cocktails and Wasted Nights. Cheers.
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2. So you want to get in the red, but you don't want to like peg it right there. Like that's all distorted and shit. So
okay, okay.
You don't have to lean toward it. Just talk, talk.
Just talking. Just talking.
Tell me some shit at your regular
level. I'm going to tell you some shit sometimes. Sometimes I just walk around the block with my dog. If I had a leash for my cat, I would have done that too.
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2. All right, we're good. And as always, if you don't have any of that shit lying around, line up some healthy... Fuck! Shit!